Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Gerrit Cole pitched well yesterday. He's not Sandy Koufax right now, and we're still a work in progress. All of the pitchers are. 85 pitches he threw yesterday. Next time out, he'll throw 100 pitches, and then you're going to expect more than six innings out of him. You can't tell me he couldn't have gotten the last out of that sixth inning yesterday, but Aaron Boone was uncomfortable with him being at 85 pitches.
But he did give up three runs. Again, it's a great Blue Jay team. I'm just saying that I think that when you're Cole, and you're one of the best pitchers in baseball, and you're coming off being second in the Cy Young, and you were brought here to be an ace of the staff, and boy, he needs to be, and he's been good. But I can understand a Yankee fan saying, I'd like to see better.
The Michael K. Show.
The nine guys for eight positions, it has to change.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, every Thursday at this point, we are joined by the manager of the New York Yankees. It's time for Diamond Notes, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. Aaron Boone joins us now. Aaron, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing great. Now, I got to start off with, I hope this is an easy question. For years, we have waited for the Yankee lineup, and it's usually come out about 10 to 6, 5 to 6. Now you're just shocking us. It's out at 2:45, 3 o'clock. What has changed?
I don't release it, so I don't know. I don't know. You know, to this point, we have been a little more, the night before, kind of we're sending it out to all our guys, especially right now as we're healthy. But typically, I leave the park on most nights in the past knowing what the lineup is the next day. You know, there's things that come up throughout the year where obviously you're waiting on something the next day and seeing how somebody is, but, I don't know. I don't release it.
Okay. All right. We assume it has something to do with gambling sites, which obviously that's not in your pay grade. But, I guess all major league teams are asked to release their lineup sooner now. But we're glad that it comes out at 3 o'clock, right at the start of the show. Anyway, I've been getting pushback from Yankee fans. I thought that Gerrit Cole pitched well yesterday. I don't think he pitched just okay. I thought he had really good stuff. And I guess the one mistake was the home run off the glove of Hicks. And, boy, you got to tip your cap, which he did, to Vlad Guerrero on the other home run. So let me ask an expert. Do you think he pitched well?
I do. And more than that, I think right now, I think physically, mentally, everything, I think he's in a really good place. I'm really excited for what his year is going to be. Last night was close to being, close to being dominant. Vladdy hits a two-run homer on a pitch. I'm still wrapping my brain around, and but otherwise, I think he's, I like where he's at. Especially as we're, essentially in his last spring start, roughly. But I love where he's at, and I'm really excited about the year I think he's going to have.
We kind of play a game here, Aaron. When we get the lineup, all right, who's going to sit? Because you've got nine legitimate starters for eight positions every night. So what goes into determining who's going to get the night off?
I'm doing more, mapping it out ahead of time as best I can. And then look, baseball changes every day, but I'm roughly looking at the week ahead and, okay, who are we facing? When do I feel like I want to, in this first section of the season where we have 10 in a row, where I'm probably going to want to get at least everyone a day in there. All right, what makes the most sense to have this guy in there, and what's the best day to have that guy out of there based on a matchup, based on maybe who's pitching for us, who's obviously pitching for the other team, and just trying to, as best I can, do it that way.
I got to ask you this, Aaron. We've been talking about this for 2 days now. Anthony, can you pull up the Star Wars sound, please? So apparently that's been playing in the stadium when there's two outs and two strikes. And Garrett Cole has said that he's not a fan. Any thoughts on this being used? And are we simple for thinking if Cole doesn't like it, why not just can it?
Well, someone told me that Coney said it was a pregnant whale, and when I heard it yesterday, I'm like that's a perfect analogy. That's kind of what it sounds like. And now the speakers have changed, and if you've been to Yankee Stadium so far this year, they are pumping more music and it's louder, and which I think has been a really good thing. But that pregnant whale is right in my ear on the bench now. So, and then I noticed a different one later in the game last night. So, you know, whatever, usually when they're playing it, it's usually setting up to be a good thing for us.
But I guess what Peter's asking, Aaron, I guess there's a separation between what goes on upstairs and downstairs, but if the ace of your staff doesn't like it, then why is it being played?
That's it.
If he doesn't like it to a point, then we will try to adjust that. How's that?
That sounds
fair.
Good to me.
That's fair.
All right, so yeah. I've been saying this all since spring training. I think this puts you in a very untenable situation. Now, you'll say you can handle it because you could. You have great people person skills. I think it's a mistake to have 9 legitimate starting players and you have to get them into 8 spots. Every single decision on every day that you make, there's somebody that's going to be pissed off because they want to play. I think that 9th guy should be somebody like Marwin Gonzalez, who's used to the role, accepts the role. But you have 9 legitimate starters that have started their whole life, and one of them is going to sit out every single day. I just don't think that's sustainable for you.
Michael, it's going to work itself out. I mean, there's a chance 1 or 2 guys doesn't sit in the first 10 games. There's a chance, you know, 1 or 2 sit twice. And, you know, it'll work itself out over time based on, you know, hopefully we remain this healthy with our everyday guys. And I think you're off a little bit. I think it totally works itself out, and the season's going to dictate how it works itself out, whether it be somebody's nicked up and needs a couple days, somebody has to go on the IL eventually at some point. You know, performance, you know, will start to come into play, certainly, if we remain 100% healthy with it. So I think it's a non-issue right now.
But here's the only thing I would like, being around the championship teams of the 90s, they had guys on the bench that knew what their role was. Tim Raines was—he knew he wasn't a starter. Dallas Strawberry knew he wasn't a starter. You had a Bellinger, you had a Homer Bush, you had a Fox. They all knew what their job was. But there's somebody that's sitting out every night that expects to be in the starting lineup. I think that puts a lot of pressure on you. And then the only way it's going to work itself out, Aaron, is if somebody gets hurt. And if the baseball gods smile on you and nobody gets hurt, there's a constant thing every single game for you.
I couldn't disagree more.
Like, I love it.
If nobody gets hurt, then a guy's sitting once a week, you know, and that's going to serve us well. And if we remain injury free, then I would say this will be a contributor to it. Like, so a guy sits 1 every 10 days, or 2 other guys sit 1 every 5 days because it works out that way, or it deserves to be that way. I don't see the issue, certainly, at this point.
Okay, one more thing about this. You're playing the Blue Jays, who you're going to battle for the American League East, and they're a good team. And yesterday you give Stanton off. Why wouldn't you wait to give one of the best players on your team off against Baltimore?
Because we just had we're dealing with a guy that's obviously we're able to keep him remarkably healthy last year. I think he might have had 1 stint on. Mm-hmm. We're coming off a 3-week spring training where the most he played was probably 2-3 games in a row, and he's not going to play 10 in a row out of the gate or 8 in a row out of the gate just because, you know, and I still got a big chip sitting over there on the bench like I did last night with him in a big spot as he's the tying run walking to the plate. Like, you know, it was either, for me, it was a decision between game four and game six for him, and kind of the way I planned it out with him and talked through it with him. And, you know, you can't all of a sudden just go Boston and Toronto with everyone and then say, okay, I'm going to give everybody a day off when we get to Baltimore. It mm-hmm. can't work that way. We only have three guys on the bench right now. So, mm-hmm. I understand, you want everyone in the lineup every single day, but
some guys had
a little bit of a puzzle to it.
Now, since you calculate these things well in advance, for an everyday player, Aaron, what's the ideal number of games played?
I think everyone's a little bit different, you know. Like, there's probably a couple of guys on our team that, look, let's just assume health for everyone the entire year. You know, in a perfect world, there's probably three or four of our guys that are, you know, 150 game starters. There's probably another three or four that are, you know, 140, 145 game starters. There's probably another two or three on there that are 130, 35 game starters. So, you know, and if you do it that way, and again, if everyone's healthy, all these guys that you're talking about, the 9 for 8 or whatever, which again is going to totally work itself out, and I would argue already sort of is, these guys are going to get over 500 plate appearances, all of them, and that'll be a great thing for us.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Any concern, Aaron, bottom of the order? I know it's only six games, but both Higgy and Isaiah Kanafalefa are 1 for 17. And I mean, again, from the untrained eye, they don't look like they're having great at bats, a lot of ground balls mm-hmm. and things like that. What are your thoughts on them?
Yeah. I mean, we want to get those guys going. Long-term, I think they're going to be fine. I think Higgy's going to hit for power down there and be a factor offensively for us this year. I think Isaiah is going to get settled and be the, you know, kind of 270 hitter that he's been down there with his speed and his ability to put the ball in play. Like, I think those guys will, you know, certainly level out and get it rolling as we get settled here. But, you know, certainly getting them going, you know, would be nice because it's been a little bit of a struggle here the first week.
And what's an ideal pitch count for Severino tonight?
Well, we'll see. Probably, you know, more than last time. you know, he's getting close to up there. He's kind of catching up with these other guys, you know, because we had to push him back a few days, and he was one less start than we thought he was going to have in spring training. So hopefully, you know, whether it's, you know, 75, 80, 85, whatever it ends up being, it will.
Were you like everyone else, Aaron? I mean, you're on field level and you've played the game forever. Did you think off the bat that Stanton was definitely gone?
Not definitely. I did think because it was him, I knew he didn't clip it, you know, like when he hits it, and I just know. Mm-hmm. But because of him, I leaned towards I think he got it, but I wasn't certain right off the bat.
Is the ballpark, because it's not quite hot, although it's a beautiful day today, I've seen a couple of balls hit, like Aaron Judge, the one to center field against the Red mm-hmm. Sox, that just don't seem like they're carrying. Are you getting that same feel?
I actually feel like it's carried pretty well. There have been a couple days where I felt like it didn't, but there were a couple games we had that I felt like, you know, balls that maybe weren't going out last year kind of did go out. And always in the month of April, it doesn't quite carry like it's going to. But if anything, I'm a little bullish on I think the ball carrying maybe a little better this year.
How ridiculous is Vladdy Jr.? Is he in the conversation for the best player in baseball?
Sure. You know, I think, I mean, you know, what he did last night was pretty spectacular. You know, I think, you know, he was in good shape last year. I think that's one of the things that really helped him last year, was he got in better shape and obviously put up the kind of season he did. It seems like he might be in even a little bit better shape this year. He's turning himself into a quality defensive first baseman as well. And, you know, he's as tough a hitter as you're going to face. So, you know, someone had said to me before yesterday, you know, they were talking about him being 0-for-8 the first two games. You guys have really done, and I walked away. Like, I you know, like, he's definitely a special hitter, and, you know, hopefully, you know, we can neutralize him enough to where, you know, he doesn't do what he did last night.
Talking with Aaron Boone, the Yankee manager, his weekly spot here on the Michael Kay Show. Give me your take, Aaron, on unwritten rules. You know, what happened the other day, Padres and the Giants, it's 11-2 game, bottom of the sixth inning, and the kid on the Giants lays down a bunt. Bob Melvin doesn't like it. And then afterward, Gabe Kapler said, listen, we're not going to pull the plug on our offense. If we can get into a bullpen and get them to use pitchers that they wouldn't use, that helps us win the series. What, is there a time that you pull the plug, Aaron?
Well, you've laughed at me before about a run rule and a mercy rule. Like, right, that ends it all, because now we're racing to do that. Although then you worry about teams like just saying, well, we're down 8-0. Let's throw our, you know, and let's be done with it in 7. So there's a predicament there. As far as that goes, I would not be comfortable bunting an 11-2 scenario. To me, it's evolved and it's changed. I get the argument of Gabe coming out and saying, because it isn't just necessarily about that game. It is about winning the series. It is about taxing a bullpen. I think, you know, for me, 11-2 bunting in that situations, you know, I get it. But for me, it's probably a little too far. But I do think more so now it's becoming acceptable, and it should be that, you know, first half of the game, you're off to a big lead. Like, you got to keep playing the game. You got to keep running. You got to keep doing what you have to do to tack on, because it's valuable when you can have a lopsided game, you know, preserving your bullpen, maybe affecting their team a little bit, especially going into tomorrow. So I get it. 11-2, I would not, you know, necessarily be on board with one of our
even
guys bunting.
Even sixth inning. That's interesting. Even sixth inning, there's a lot of innings to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think, you know.
Now, if a player did it on his own, would you tell him he was wrong, or would you let it go?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where this goes. Look, I think, you know, it'd be great if we got rid of all unwritten rules, probably. Oh, yeah. But, you know, I think it's important to keep a sportsmanship level in there as well. I think that matters. And sometimes, you know, we champion these plays sometimes over the years in these lopsided games that I think sometimes are more selfishly motivated than it is about the big picture, which we're talking about right now, where it is affecting. But so there's a sportsmanship level, and just because you bunt doesn't mean that's the, you know, you can still pour it on a team without, you know, laying down a bunt up 10 right, or whatever.
All right, so now let's play yesterday's game again. Yankees, Blue Jays, your ace is on the mound. He has a perfect game through 7, 80 pitches. Would you allow him to try to get the perfect game? You know I'm talking about the Kershaw situation.
Right.
Would you allow him to go further?
You're saying me with Garrett yesterday, had he been perfect through 7 and he was at 80?
Yes, just like Kershaw was.
It's possible. If he would have been at 80, considering what, you know, that was kind of around his number, like I went a little past with him. It's a tough one. The people railing on it, we're talking about Kershaw and the Dodgers, a team that expects to compete for a championship, a guy that's, you know, dealt with a lot of injuries last year. I think if he goes out there and let's say you let him go, and I know I had heard he hadn't thrown more than 57 or 60 pitches in a game yet at that point. And so say he finishes that game at 110 pitches. I think you're playing with fire. I think it's really dangerous. You know, I think the buildup for pitchers, you know, kind of the, I think all the data and evidence kind of shows that when, as you're getting a pitcher from that 60 to 80 to 120, like those are giant steps that usually are red flags if you blow past them. So I get the predicament. I know Doc didn't make that decision lightly. Doc Roberts, I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Clayton was certainly on board with it. But you know, I get the chase for history, but I also, you know, when you're a team that and a player that thinks you got a chance to do something special as a team that year, you always got to keep the big picture in mind a little bit.
Do you agree with what Joe Torre told David Cone? Because he took David Cone out after seven innings when he the first start after the aneurysm, and he always mm-hmm. used this as a benchmark, Aaron. He said, the seventh inning is the cutoff. He said, because if I let you pitch the eighth, I've got to let you pitch the ninth. He said, and that's yep. when the pitch count could come out of control. That's why I'm taking you out after the seventh. I am not tempting myself. Do you understand what Torre meant?
I do. I mean, you know, absolutely. I mean, it's and look, in the end, you're making that decision. And, you know, in a way, you know, it'd be tough to live with if this guy then has an injury. And right. and look, everything suggests that when you make that giant of a leap, you are putting a guy in danger. And, you know, that would be tough for me to live with if all of a sudden, you know, Clayton Kershaw was now, God forbid, done for the year. Had it been because of that, or you know, or not, you know, that would always, you know, certainly understandably be part of the conversation.
It just Aaron Boone, the former player, Aaron Boone, the fan, can understand mm-hmm. the frustration in that, right?
Of course.
Because you want baseball to grow and excitement, and it stinks. The right thing was done, but it still stinks. Is that fair?
That's absolutely fair. And look, I think a little bit of a misnomer is like once you do get these guys built up, you know, like, you know, once they're good to go, like they're a lot of times built up to, even if they haven't got, once they get to that kind of 90, 100 plus pitches, like 120 on a given day or 125 on a given day. You know, we did it with Garrett last year in Houston. They're equipped to handle that at that point when they're built up to that point, and that's not as big an issue.
Well, I mean, every manager of every team has so much responsibility. And I just think also, Aaron, every management and front offices are loggerheads with the entertainment value. You guys don't care about entertaining. You care about winning. You want to see the thing that helps you win the most. And obviously the fans mm-hmm. want to be entertained. So, I mean, that's an unbelievable tightrope you have to walk, and you have to worry about the health of your players too.
Yeah, I mean we're in the business of trying to win, and
right.
and you know that's that's our job. You know, certainly, you know, hopefully our sport continues to grow and evolve, and there are probably some things that can be put in that hopefully help us, you know, evolve with the times a little bit and become a more entertaining product to a larger audience, and those are all things that hopefully, you know, Major League Baseball and the players alike can get together and make some necessary adjustments that do bring in a bigger audience.
Good stuff. See you later, Aaron, and good luck in the game.
Thank you, guys.
All right, that was the Diamond Notes brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pickard designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 6 area locations. So Aaron completely, and Peter loved it, completely disagreed with me about the 8,
oh, yeah.
The 9 and 8, and I respectfully disagree with him as well, but I understand what he's saying. It's almost like you're assuming there's going to be an injury, and I mean there is always an injury, but if there's not an injury, somebody's chapped every day. I'm sorry. Somebody's chapped every single day. Somebody who's played his whole life as a regular player, never had a look at the lineup, is chapped every single day.
It's just it's two people debating about philosophy. And the philosophy right now in Major League Baseball is we don't want guys playing 162 games anymore. They're going to have to get days off. And we're not going to just give them all off on the same day like we suggested against Baltimore because they're a lousy team. It doesn't matter. Every game's equal, and they're going to give guys days off. I don't like it. You know, I hate load management in basketball. I hate this in baseball. If you're healthy, you play. I talked about it with Dave Maloney last night when Lafreniere was a healthy scratch. Dave, as a former player, said, I always felt like if I was healthy, I wanted to play. And we went from, Michael, nursing injuries to now trying to avoid them completely. And I'd be on board with that if these guys stayed healthy and they still get hurt. Especially the pitchers. You're protecting Kershaw, and watch, he'll go out, you know, I don't want to see it, but he might go out at next start and blow out his arm and be out for the year. Like, so you're trying to avoid injuries, but it's still, they make it seem like it's a science. To me, it still just means it's more of an educated guess.
Yeah, they're trying to guess with information, if that makes sense. Like you said, educated, but it's a guess. Yeah, I mean, you could throw a guy 100, we had a stat yesterday, there was a game, Nolan Ryan threw 235 pitches. 235 right. pitches in the game and pitched 3 days later on short rest. And then, by the way, he went on to pitch 13 more years after that game.
But even if you wanted to just rule him out as just he was a beast, all right, something else was going, whatever. But the point is that trying to avoid these injuries, like you know the magical number of when guys get hurt and when they don't. And what happened? They had the Jabba rules, Michael. What happened to Jabba? He got hurt.
Yep.
All the way they protected him, he still got hurt. Baseball's a grind. It's a war of attrition. Part of what's fun about the sport is just trying to survive the season. It's like they found a loophole. But in finding that loophole, it becomes less entertaining because some of the great players in the game aren't going to play for, you know, Stan could be out 20-something games during the course of the season without even getting hurt.
Let's take a brief time out. You heard what the manager has to say. Let's hear from you. 1-800-919-3776. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg, Boone and you right here on Yes on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.